الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رب صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع ورب قائم ليس له من قيامه إلا السهر وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My most respected elders and brothers, our stay in this dunya is for a very, very short while. One of the greatest objectives and the reason why Allah has created every single one of us is solely for His ibadat and His worship. If you look in Quran, Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Created insan and jinnat for my worship and my ibadat. So that is why if you find our day-to-day life, how our year goes, it revolves around ibadat, meaning worship of Allah. But my respected elders and brothers, when we truly of Allah, one is the way of carrying out that act of worship, and the other is the essence of that ibadat. So to understand this, when a person performs his salah, merely going through the motions of salah is not what he is wanted by Allah. Because a person can go through the motions of salah and he wasn't fully conscious or aware in his salah. He did not make ada of his postures of salah. What happens to that salah, it rises up in an ugly form and it makes bad dua for him. And it says, oh Allah, destroy him like how he has destroyed me. If you look at another act of worship, a person is making qurbani. And when he slaughters that animal again, just the act of slaughtering is not what he is wanted by Allah. So when Allah speaks about it in Quran, Allah says, لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ That yes, when we are choosing the animal, we will choose the best of animals. We will choose the best of these animals, but Allah says, remember, at the end of it, the flesh, the blood, the bones, the wool, the hair of that animal is not what is going to reach Allah. But what is going to reach Allah, Allah says, وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ That quality of taqwa which you get from that act, this is the essence of that ibadat. So in the same way, my respected elders and brothers, very, very important to understand is that this month of Ramadan that we are in currently, it is not merely the act of staying hunger. And it is not just the act of standing in Taraweeh Salah at night, but rather what do we hope to achieve from this? Just as a person buys a certain fruit and he wants to buy the best of fruits, but he does not focus on the peel or the seeds of that fruit, because this is not the essence of the fruit, but he focuses on the flesh of that fruit. So in the same way, what is the essence of the month of Ramadan? We find the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he warns us in this hadith. He says, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ He says, there's many a fasting person, that the only thing that he achieves through his fast is hunger. And he says, رُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ That many of persons standing in Taraweeh Salah at night, in Tahajjud Salah at night, and the only thing that he achieves through his standing at night is that he gets sleeplessness, meaning he doesn't sleep early as he usually sleeps. So my respected elders and brothers, we have to understand that we are not only trying to achieve this hunger in the month of Ramadan, and not only standing in Taraweeh Salah at night, but rather we hope to achieve something. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ascends the minbar. Before he ascends the minbar, he summons the sahaba to come forward. And when he ascends the first step of the minbar, he says Ameen. Very famous hadith, we all know it, just to remind ourselves about it. When he ascends the second step, he says Ameen. When he ascends the third step, he says Ameen. At the end of it, Sahaba are surprised. They ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, today we have seen you doing something which we have never seen before. Every step of the minbar that you had taken, then you said Ameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies to the Sahaba. He tells them that when I ascended the first step, one of the reasons why I said Ameen was that Jibreel descended and he came to me. And he said, curse and woe be to the one who the month of Ramadan comes and he does not achieve forgiveness from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how many a Ramadan has passed, my respected elders and brothers? We have to ask ourselves that we exited and we came out of the month of Ramadan, but we did not know that we had fallen under the curse of Jibreel and the Ameen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something which we have to take cognizance of. We have to be aware of that coming out of the month of barakat and blessings, where these barakat and blessings have to carry us till the next year, the month of Ramadan. But sometimes we find that not only are we not achieving the barakat and blessings of this month, but we have achieved the curse of Jibreel alayhi salam and the Ameen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. So going through these days of hunger and standing in Taraweeh Salah at night, we have to also achieve the essence of this month. And this is gaining proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Getting ourselves forgiven in this month of Ramadan. This is the most important thing from this month. This is our training period for the next 11 months of the year. On one occasion, the weak hadith which is quoted in the books of hadith, but ulama say it is suitable to quote, two women were brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were experiencing severe hunger and thirst. And this was at the time when they were fasting. So Sahaba had taken permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that perhaps in this situation they may break their fast. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of giving permission for them to break their fast, he calls for a utensil and a bowl. And he summons the first one, he tells her, vomit in this utensil. So obviously people are surprised. They are going through severe starvation and thirst. What are they going to vomit? But when she begins to vomit in this utensil, half the utensil becomes filled with blood and fresh meat. And then he takes this utensil, presents it to the second one, and tells her also that now you vomit. And she vomits enough that this entire utensil has been filled. And then after this, he says that maybe you were staying away and you were fasting from food and the things which Allah had prohibited us from. But he said you were breaking your fast on the flesh of your Muslim brothers and sisters. So my respected elders and brothers, one very, very important thing for us to understand in this month is that together with the ibadat that we do, our salah, our zakat, our standing in Taraweeh salah at night, we have to stay away from the negatives as well. And the negatives being sin. So in just these few moments, there's one very, very, very important thing that I wish to concentrate and bring our minds to. And this is in this month of Ramadan, the aspect of guarding our tongues. Because in this month of Ramadan, we can see just a simple act which we may deem to be simple, meaning making ghiba and talking bad about somebody else, had brought down the entire essence of their fasting. So they were fasting in practice. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted from that fasting, they weren't able to achieve. So this becomes a lesson for us. That every day we're going through the motions of fasting, but we have to ask ourselves, how many times in this day have I used this tongue in the wrong way? And if we are using it in the wrong way, then at the end of this fasting, we are not achieving anything. In the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just mere hunger, and at the end of the Taraweeh Salah, a sleepless night. So one very, very important thing, my respected elders and brothers, let us see how we use our tongues in these Mubarak days. Because the tongue is something which the effects of it can be very, very good, and the bad effect, it can also be very, very evil and very, very bad. On one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. And Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know what a great sahabi he was, but he poses a very, very important and a beautiful question to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He tells him, Ya Rasulullah, give me a way that will enter me into Jannah and will save me and safeguard me from the fire of Jahannam. So Rasulullah SAW then goes on to explain all the injunctions of deen, whether it was fasting, salah, qiyam, hajj, all these different things, jihad. And finally at the end of it, just for our understanding of this hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given the example of the entire deen to be a simple structure made out of brick in our understanding. And then he tells him that, O Mu'adh, ala adulluka ala milaki hadha al-amri kulli. O Mu'adh, should I not show you what will cement this building of deen? Meaning Mu'adh, right now as this building stands, it is there, it is present. If you do your ibadat, that building of deen will be present. But O Mu'adh, that building will be very, very weak. As we know, you put up a structure, there's no cement, that building is prone to falling. Simple flood will come, small rain, and the building will collapse. So he tells him, O Mu'adh, should I not show you how to strengthen this building? Mu'adh replies, Bala ya Rasulullah. O Rasulullah, please do tell me. He tells him, O Mu'adh, kuffa alayka hadha. O Mu'adh, guard your tongue. Hold fast to this tongue. Be careful what you say. Mu'adh radhiyallahu anhu is surprised that such a great outcome, just holding the tongue brings such great benefit, but such a simple action. He tells him, Ya Rasulullah, does the tongue have so much of effect in our deen? Rasulullah says, in surprise, tells him, O Mu'adh, thakilat ka ummuk, meaning this was an expression of surprise. O Mu'adh, I thought you were intelligent. O Mu'adh, wahal yakubbu nasa ala wujuhihim finnari illa hasaidu al-sinatihim. In Arabic, hal and illa gives this meaning of hasar, that O Mu'adh, the only thing that will put people into the fire of Jahannam is the ill effects of what they say. So my respected elders and brothers, just from this hadith we understand that together with our ibadat, it does not only stop there, but very, very important in our day-to-day life, how people, those around us, our subordinates, our employees, our employers, our wives, our children, how do we speak to them? Because we can be doing all these things on one side, but on the other hand, we can be doing such things that will bring down and destroy all our reward and all our ibadat. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing the sahaba, he says, Manil muflisun, O my sahaba, who are the bankrupt ones? So the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they give a normal answer which we would give. They say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi of Allah, man la dirham lahu wa la dinara. Person doesn't have any dirham, no dinar, no property, no rand, no dollars, no cents. He has nothing. So Rasulullah says that my definition of a muflis, of a person who is bankrupt, is a person who came on the day of Qiyamah with all his various ibadat. He came with his hajj, he came with his umrah, he came with his fasting in the month of Ramadan, in the various hajj that he had performed, all his salah, all these acts of worship. But what had he done? ظَلَمَ هَذَا شَتَمَ هَذَا أَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He swore this one, he hid this one, he ate up the wealth of this one, meaning he didn't pay attention to the hukuk and the rights of the people around him. At the end of it, what will happen? He'll find himself with no ibadah to his name. And Allah save us, what will happen? All the evil deeds of the people who he had broken the rights of, he spoke bad to, he made zulam on, they will transfer it into his account. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So my respected elders and brothers, this month of Ramadan, we have to ask ourselves, so many months of Ramadan has passed. And what is the greatest gauge for us to see whether we were successful in the month of Ramadan or not, is that after the month of Ramadan finishes, then what did we achieve through that month of Ramadan? When we carried on in the 11 months of the year, were we able to achieve some kind of that form that we had in the month of Ramadan? Or was it that when the month of Ramadan finished, then all our ibadat, whatever we were doing, also came to an end? And the reason for this, my respected elders and brothers, most of the time, is that we did not gain the true essence of the month of Ramadan, as Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, which is to gain that proximity with Allah, to fear Allah. So my respected elders and brothers, to finish off on a last example, a person is driving on a very, very hot day, and he puts that aircon on, that air conditioning on. And as he is driving, he continues for kilometer upon kilometer, but he finds that car is not getting cool. So He goes to check up this aircon. Maybe there's something wrong with it. But the person who checked it tells him that there's enough gas in it. The system is working properly. There's nothing wrong with the system. So then he goes back into his car, and as he leaves, that aircon is on. And the person who was checking that aircon calls him back. And he says, the reason why your aircon is not working is that the cool air is coming out from one side, but your windows at the back are open. So all the good air and the cool air that's coming out from your aircon is coming out from one side, and it is coming out of the open windows. So there's no benefit to this aircon. So in the same way, my respected elders and brothers, this month of Ramadan is going to bring us a lot of blessings and barakat, but on condition, together with the positive being there, we have to also take care of the negative. And what is the negative? Staying away from sins, not disobeying Allah in this month, and very, very important, guarding this tongue at all times. It is said regarding Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah that he would wear a ring, and on this ring he had an inscription in Arabic regarding this tongue, that jirmuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. The weight of this tongue may be small, but the sin of this tongue is very, very great. And this would always serve as a reminder to him to check and guard and control his tongue. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, the understanding, to gain the maximum from this month of Ramadan. May Allah make this month of Ramadan the month where this will bring the greatest change in our life. And till the day we die, every single Ramadan that we see will be a month of becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah also give us the ability that on the one side we are taking care of the positives, to also take care of the negative. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين